posters, screen prints, riso prints, paintings, acrylic paintings, watercolor paintings, ceramic mugs, ceramic plates, ceramic bowls, ceramic pots, lapel pins, hats, toques, crochet bathing suits, jewelry, trinkets, knickknacks, hand-painted signs, curated thrift, and a bunch more stuff that won't fit in this designated block of airtime. Slice of Life Art and Gift Shop, located at 1636 Venables, just off Commercial. Open 11 to 6, 6 days a week.
The haunting debut album Black Moon by Civic TV provides a cinematic backdrop, a modern-day symphony of the dark and light that is our collective reality. Take a listen to Black Moon, now available via Flemish Eye Records and on all streaming platforms.
Huh? What are you doing in my swamp?
It's Music Waste.
Music Waste Festival is bringing back live shows with a sparkle this spring from June 2nd to 5th.
Hey, cool.
Check out local faves, not-so-local faves, and live debuts from solo folk to full-on screamo, including Big Rig, The Golden Age of Wrestling, Hermit,
I love that.
Hallelujah Hi Lou, Francis Baptiste,
no way.
And Apollo Ghosts. The 52 bands are enchanting audiences across East Vancouver stages at Kingsgate Mall, Redgate Art Society, The Wise, Antisocial Skateboard Shop, and more. Festival passes are just $25 and get you into all Music Waste shows. You can also pay $10, no one turned away for lack of funds at the door. Art Waste will be running out of Redgate Gallery throughout the weekend with flash tattoos, physical art, and an interactive digital gallery designed by Cyber Warehouse's Sam Hurl. Go to musicwaste.ca to learn more and get your festival pass now.
I'm there.
Paul Jacobs, former member of Pottery, plays Wise Hall on May 26th. New music on the way this April. Tickets for his solo show are now on sale.
Spice it up. I've been so high cause I'm the pilot, son. Them shorties piling up. You wanna be the runner up or you gon' tighten up? Listen, learn to roll a blunt for me and light it up. Be the best, better on your block.
Your block.
Both your man and your girl gon' fly.
Gon' fly.
Yeah, we go cause the world don't stop.
Don't stop.
Come on, baby, better earn those stocks. If you pull up for a hand, then I'ma reach ya. If you pull up in the chat, I drop a beat, yeah. Got you cooling like your Carolina beach, yeah. Heard I put it down like murder on a beat, yeah. I got it locked and you just got a foreign key, yeah. You wanna knock it down, you wanna quarantine, yeah. You wanna cuddle when we watch a horror scene, yeah. And you ain't never want nobody more than me, yeah. Listen, I'm just in my vibe and I ain't looking. I don't need the icing or the pudding. Nah, I can't only like it, gotta love it. You better make it more enticing or I'm cutting, ayy.
You are my freedom.
You are my body.
Been icy like a froyo. Find me on my dollar.
Find me on my door.
I'm so fine, I make your throat close. You either lying or you don't know.
What up?
Ain't no mediocre.
I'ma
whip the ride with no shoulder.
I'ma whip the ride. No surprise who's inside. Burger beat selling pies, butter pecan thighs. And I don't do that mediocre half-ass bullshit. Me, I'm with the full shits. I really wish you would, sis. Okay. Cause I could show you what it look like when shit get fugly. Either they trying to hate me or they dying to fuck me. And the truth is, if a bitch get a whiff of my shit, have her lifted lovely. Cause I'm with the Toronto shits. Roll Toronto spliff with my Toronto bitch. I done did so many shows, got Toronto rich. Canadian dollars, honorary Canadian scholar. Don't bother trying to come for me, I'm high and mighty. Get up on the line and call her via mighty. She keep a dirty ting under clean white tee. If you trying to fight her, then you trying to fight me. All that yakety yapping, that talking, don't move me. Task force, enforced to off your koofy, huh? All that money talk is funny, it's a whole joke. Listen, either they lying or these hoes broke.
I don't know so-so.
vibe and icy like a froyo. Find me on my dollar. I'm so fine, I make your throat close. You either lying or you don't know. You are my freedom. You are my body. I don't know no so-so. I've been icy like a froyo. Find me on my dollar. I'm so fine, I make your throat close. You either lying or you don't know.
You know we do this every Tuesday, 10 to 11. Thanks for tuning in. This is Off the Beaten Path. We are broadcasting from the unceded Musqueam, Coast Salish, Tsleil-Waututh, Squamish territory, live from the most western part of the Lower Mainland here, UBC's beautiful campus. If you were just listening to Crimes and Treasons, you just heard an amazing set from DJ Malik Tov. We appreciate all the troop members here in spirit. Listen, hey, I don't know if you know, but listen, the troop, they be out here getting this. You know what I'm saying? And, you know, sometimes you got to work on Tuesdays. Listen, you've probably had a long day at work. You want to wind down, you know, listening to some Off the Beaten Path. If you never listened to the show before, welcome. You're in for a treat. If you have listened to the show before, welcome back. You know, this is what we do here. This is just kind of the musings of your host, Isarian. What we talk about here is, you know, some of the things that are going on locally here in the Lower Mainland, some of the things that are going on in Canada, some of the things that are going on in North America, some of the things going on in the world. Sometimes we get a little intergalactic here. We definitely, you know, get up to space and come back down, but we try to keep the show pretty grounded, you know what I mean? You know, so if you have stuff going on this week, listen, I feel like we're at a point where, you know, we're talking to people in person and, you know, we're meeting up and some people are even going back into office like pretty regularly, which I find is a little crazy. But, you know, you have to have those type of small talk conversations. And I feel like after the last 2 years of, you know, people coming more aware of, you know, some of the bullshit that goes on, you might need a little bit something different to talk about, you know. And so that's what Off the Beaten Path is providing you. You know, just with a little bit of oomph, you know what I mean? So you can, you know, because you probably, listen, wondering if you listen to this show, you definitely got some feelings, you know what I mean? You're not listening to Off the Beaten Path. You're not listening to radio unless you feel something, you know what I mean? Unless you like, I want to listen to somebody put something together for me. And that's what I'm doing. I put this together for you every week. We're tuned in. Listen, I'm keeping you up to date with the weather, the news, you know, and just kind of the topics. Honestly, it feels like Vancouver is getting a little crazier and crazier every week. You know, we talk about the local news here, and we're going to get into that a little bit later, but let's keep it light and talk about the weather. God damn, today was so beautiful. It's like, I find that, you know, we're in that point of the year where we can still be very disappointed by the weather. So don't, you know, get your hopes too high. But some days just really reveal themselves to just end up so beautiful. And when you spend 90% of your time in your house like I do, it can be tough. But then when you walk outside, you're like, damn, it's beautiful. You know, 6 months ago, I was walking outside at 4 o'clock and be like, damn, it's dark as fuck. But not anymore. You know, it's night. It's getting to that part of the year. I feel like it's at that part of the year where you can be sitting in your living room or sitting on your porch and then you look down and you're like, holy shit, it's 10 o'clock. I got shit to do. It happened to me yesterday. So don't be me. You know, where you, me, I can have this habit where I put off my work until it gets dark. Like, I'm much better at working through the night, you know, or working at nighttime. I'm not nocturnal, but I work better at night or really early in the morning. And the hours where it's dark and it's quiet and there's nobody up and there's nobody doing anything, except for those hours right now or between the hours of like midnight and 4 a.m. If you wake up at 4:30, you'll wake up and it'll look beautiful outside. It's crazy. Anyways, like I said, I hope you enjoyed the weather today, because this weekend it is going to get continuously a little bit worse, a little bit cloudy, a little bit of showers, a little bit of rain. And it says we're not going to have our next sunny day until the 7th. Next Tuesday, the 7th. So stay tuned, honestly. And then also next Tuesday is the show right before my birthday. So listen, if you are listening and you want to give me a birthday present, listen, you can call in at 604-822-2487. I'll tell you where to send it. Actually, you can just send it to CITR. Just send it here. If you got music, you know, you have a story, you have a book you want me to read, you have a book suggestions. Honestly, that would be a great birthday gift. Not even just book suggestions, article suggestions. I just like, you know, I do my part to put in my half to help you, you know, get a little bit more interesting and have a little bit more stories. And, you know, maybe you could put in your half too. With that being said, honestly, there's some wild shit going on. There's some wild stuff going on that has continued to go on. And one of the stories was brought to my attention by one of my friends this morning. Well, if you listen to Off the Beaten Path, you know that this story is not, it's not new. You know, it's not new, but it continues to have, you know, it continues to unfold. So we talked about the missing Indigenous woman Chelsea, you know, over the past few months. But we talked about last week how her father, you know, was just really upset about how, you know, the police have been handling his missing daughter. And even once they found the remains of her in the, you know, in the porch of a abandoned Shaughnessy mansion, really nothing has come of that. And so this morning, it shows there was a video of an individual. An individual happened to be affiliated with some of sailing around here, which is like, you know, if you listen to the show, you know that I sail a lot. So affiliated with some of the sailing clubs around. And it's a video of him pulling down the posters. And so obviously, you know, that's something that seems so abhorrent. Like, I kind of don't really understand. There's so much behavior that I don't understand, or so much hate, especially when it comes to like interracial, particularly white hate of other people. Like, I kind of just really don't understand. I'm like, damn, what did these people do to you? You know, like that. And so I guess it came out more context that these people were, you know, the people, whereas Chelsea's family, who were putting up posters in the neighborhood trying to find out what happened. Because I have a really hard, listen, I, you know, we talk about a lot of conspiracy theories here, but, you know, I just have a really hard time feeling like you could just put somebody's remains in a, you know, in the backyard of somebody's house and nobody would notice. You know, nobody would notice anything for a year and a half. It just seems so ludicrous. And so this person pulling down this, pulling down these posters, you know, we talked about it in my sailing group chat, and it's just the actions are indefensible. And also, it's just, as a human being, wouldn't you be more concerned with trying to find out what happened in your neighborhood rather than ripping down the posters? It just seems a little suspicious, you know. You know that lots of stuff happens. I mean, we've talked about here on the show, you know, about the things that happen in my neighborhood. I don't want to know, you know, there's a difference. I'm like, somebody puts, I just couldn't imagine somebody taking down posters of somebody's loved one who are missing. And we've talked about this last week or 2 weeks ago on the show where I said, like, if you go to Walmart or you go to, you know, people used to put people, missing people on milk cartons. But if you go to any place that's kind of, you know, about the people, they have posters about missing people. And I just feel so sad because the idea is that, like, this is actually the last hope for people to find a loved one. Like, they have posters where people are aged, you know, 5 and 10 years. So fucking sad. You know, like, that just people are just gone. And it is literally like the last act that somebody of desperation that somebody can have to just find their loved ones. And to pull those posters down, even if they are, quote, illegal by bylaws, just seems so callous that I can't understand. And so if you, maybe you listen to this radio show and you're driving around and you feel like, you know, I want to rip down posters or something like that, just don't do it. And also if you see somebody doing that, tell them to stop, you know, like that. Like, it doesn't, I find that there's so much could be done if just more people just spoke up and told people to stop doing the dumb shit that they do. Like, we talked about the show, like, I mean, in a jokingly way, like, that we're pro-bullying, but, I mean, it's not a joke. Like, that man needs to be bullied. Like, I have, listen, if you know him or you've seen him or you talked to him or maybe that's your friend, bully him. You know what I mean? Like, bro, like, what the fuck are you doing? You can say that to, you can say that to people. What are you doing right now? Think about what you're doing. Today, as I was walking, taking a break from work, a woman nearly almost got smoked by a car because the car was making a right turn and didn't see her coming down the bike lane. And all you have to do is speak up and the car, you know, yell. I yelled at the car stopped. The car, you know, the woman didn't get hit. You just have to speak up. And so if that's you, well, now you have, you know, and you know this person, now you have a good opportunity to speak up. When we come back, we're going to talk a little bit about how BC is decriminalizing small amounts of drugs and how, while a good step in the right direction, the actual people who know what the fuck they're talking about don't think that it's enough, which makes it really weird. When we get back.
You don't really wanna be my lady.
You don't.
You know it's more than just driving Mercedes.
More than
these hoes gon' call and drive you crazy.
They
just tryna f***ing have my baby. My block too hot to have a lady.
My block too
hot. All these detectives, they investigate.
Investigate.
Play smart, no hesitating.
No hesitation.
If they can't get to me, they'll try my baby.
It's a party.
No one knows
when I'm coming down.
The bars
still high, still high.
It's gonna rain here all day, girl.
All day long, all day long.
But we still have tomorrow.
Lady, I don't know how. You know me for a month, now you wanna be my p***.
Shit, I'm talking about.
You and me are you. You don't know what I come with. I don't mean to put you down, but I know you're down. If you wasn't around, maybe I'm asking too much. You offering love, I don't think that's enough. You don't really wanna be my lady.
You don't.
You know it's more than just driving Mercedes.
More than Mercedes.
These hoes gon' call and drive you crazy.
They gon' drive you crazy.
Just trying to can't have my baby. My block too hot to have a lady.
My blood too hot.
They investigate.
They
just want no hesitating.
No hesitation.
If they can't get to me, they'll try my baby.
It's a party.
Lady,
all night. So light.
No one knows.
It's gonna rain here all day, girl.
All day long, day long.
But we still have tomorrow.
This shit ain't nothing new. Yeah, I got too much I could lose. So be careful who you choose. Cause this ain't like the life you had with your old dude. And if you don't like being alone at night, not your type.
You don't really wanna be my lady. You know it's more than just driving Mercedes. These hoes gon' call and drive you crazy. They just tryna can't have my baby. My block too hot to have a lady.
My block too
hot. All these detectives, they investigate. Play this one, no hesitating. If they can't get to me, they'll try my baby.
You're back with Off the Beaten Path. Here, I'm your host here on CITR. Honestly, it's the best radio station in Canada. CITR not only plays the best music, has the best content, has the best, you know, interviewees, has some of the smartest people, you know, who take part in the station, but also they do so much good work in the community. And so, one of the things that I actually learned when I started doing the radio show at CITR from some of the people here was just that, like, I feel like that there are people here who just have not just, like, an open mind or open heart, but just, like, in the kind of a next level, coming from America, like, just a thought, a progressive thought about drugs or about, you know, how they affect people and... It's just interesting. So moving here, you know, learning more about just like that type of movement and that type of, you know, progressive movement, you can start to see how it just makes sense. You know, like that being punitive about small amounts of drugs doesn't actually help anyone. But there's two drug stories I want to talk about today, that one just seems dumb as fuck. And then the other one seems like somebody... Like people have been making, I don't want to say oversights, like undersights, you know, about what actually they need to do. So BC's has a decriminalization plan that goes into effect January 31st, where up to 2.5 grams of opioids, cocaine, and methamphetamines in MDA will be decriminalized. And so while this is a step in the right direction from some of the BC, you know, advocates who are trying to help people get off of drugs or, you know, help change their life around or help make drugs more manageable or just help keep people alive so that people don't die. I didn't, you know, it's something crazy, like nearly 7 or 8 people die every day in BC from drug overdose. And, you know, nearly 20,000 people have died in the last just few years. And so... This mandate for decriminalization came from the federal, came down from the federal level. The BC Parliament or the BC Legislature requested for 4.5 grams, which for 4.5 grams, and then the federal mandate knocked that down to 2.5. Now, these are the kind of things that they don't really make any sense to me. You know, where BC, the government, has smart people in there, you know, has scientists who have determined that 2.5 grams is too low. And 4.5, frankly, they said 4.5 grams is too low just because of the fact that if it's for personal use, what happens is people test their drugs, you know, and they have these tolerances. So if you lower the decriminalized amount, that means that people have to go out and get more drugs more frequently so that they can stay underneath the limit, but that puts them at risk of getting part of, you know, getting a bad batch of drugs, which leads to overdoses, you know, rather than, you know, allow people to have to go and source drugs less often, you know, which would essentially keep people a little bit safer. And since it's up to, you know, the police officer's discretion about what you know, what the amount is, then obviously, you know, then it comes into all of these different types of biases that come into account when you're relying on police officers to make the decisions about what's decriminalized and what isn't. And so for me, it's just kind of weird that science and, you know, they can request a specific number, you know, and have reasons for that. Like, I'm sure, you know, these people have a report. And then the government's like, you know what? The federal government's like, you know what? That's not good enough. We're going to give you half of that. Now, I could see if the government said no to decriminalization at all, you know, with that, which is like, you know, we have a stance on that. But to not do the recommended, it seems like just why not? You know, like that. Like, why do we kind of refuse to give people the maximum amount of help that they need, or, you know, they can deserve? And it's, the people are going to get drugs, you know, like that. And if what you're trying to do is stop people from entering, you know, criminal facilities and, you know, not getting them the help that they need, that doing like a half measure doesn't work. And so, like, that's like politician being stupid. But this is like, this just like some Alberta man being dumb as hell. So an Alberta man, Ted Carl Felpel, was offered money to move a boat across the border. So U.S. authorities said they stopped a small boat carrying a large shipment of methamphetamine after they saw it riding low in the water near the Canadian border with Washington State, basically near Victoria, going through the San Juan Islands. They took out 24 duffel bags, which was basically about 650 kilograms of methamphetamine. And this man said that he had been hiking near a marina in Sydney, BC, when someone approached him and offered him $1,000 to move a boat from Sydney's to Anacardes, Washington, and back. $1,000 to move the drugs. Now, listen, I've never been in this situation where somebody has offered me money to be a mule, but I feel like you can sniff a mule situation out from the beginning. I feel like that's not something that's hard. Like, when you get to the boat and you see mad duffel bags in it, I guess when you see like 650 kilograms worth of duffel bags, you're like, ah, shit, I'm in too deep. You're kind of in too deep to say no. You're like, well, if you're moving 650 kilograms of methamphetamine, you're probably going to kill me. That's just what I would imagine. But still, $1,000 just doesn't seem enough. Like, I feel like I've watched enough Locked Up Abroad. And I know Canada's jails are not as bad as, like, some of those jails, you know, in those countries that they show you on Locked Up Abroad. Like, couldn't imagine going to, you know, a jail in Paraguay or a jail in the Philippines, but they'll just kill you in the Philippines for moving drugs like that. But anyways, I've seen enough TV. Like, I've seen enough TV where I just like, where it's just like, yeah, $1,000 is not enough. 650, like, not enough. And also, it just seems like, I kind of feel like I'm up on my drugs, you know what I mean? Like, I feel like this is, I know more about drugs now than I ever have in my life. Which I guess that just means that I'm just getting older and just finding out, like, oh shit, I didn't know people were doing that. But I just, like, how much is 650 kilograms of methamphetamine? Like, I feel like in my head, that is enough to, like, get the entire country of Canada high. 650 kilograms sounds like a lot, but maybe it's not. Like, half ton of methamphetamine. I don't know. Sounds like a lot, but, and it sounds like a lot of, too much methamphetamine to be moving for only $1,000. Anyways, lighter news. What we're going to talk about is Orca calf was born to J-Pod. I don't know if you know J-Pod, are familiar, but J-Pod is, you know, some of the resident killer whales that live here in southern BC and through the Gulf Islands, and they had a little, I don't know, say girl. I don't know how you call a female orca, but they had one. And so hopefully, you know, we don't have motorboaters. Motorboaters. we don't have motorboaters out here fucking it up. But we, you know, like, because it's kind of amazing, one, that these orcas and whales have been managed to maintain, because there's only 68 left. That's nuts. Like, I find it crazy. Maybe I was listening to a podcast or listened to one of those David Attenborough shows where they were talking about just the amount of fish that used to be in the ocean. Like, that whaling ships and fishing boats used to go out and literally pull up tons of fish, like tons. Like, when they used to come, there used to be so much salmon here in BC that they would literally jump out of the water into your hands. And people have ruined that. Ruined it. You know what people ruined it, but I don't need to explain it, but they ruined it. And now we're all out of balance. When we get back, we're going to talk a little bit about how anthropologists continue to get this wrong, and it doesn't seem to ever get any better. And it doesn't feel like it's going to.
Hey, it's Tim Darcy from Cola. Our album Deep in View is out this spring, and you can see us at the Biltmore in Vancouver on July 11th.
Mountain. Can't
Welcome back. You just listened to Wallace, Funeral. It's like one of those new songs that I like. Also, what I find is that I feel like there's so many artists right now. One, there's so many artists. I find it incredibly difficult to even just explore the types of music that I like, to find something new, to find, you know, to even, I find it even just a chore to listen to artists that I do like, because I find myself listening to the same song over and over and over and over again. And if you find yourself listening to the same song and you want, you know, a curated playlist, you can always listen to Off the Beaten Path playlists on Spotify. I'm about to switch the title, so you can listen to them on Spotify until I switch the title, and then we'll have to figure it out. But there's just so much music and so much cool things that people are putting out. One of the things that is interesting that people are putting out. So if you know me, listen, you've listened to the show before, you know that I'm like pro lots of stuff. But one thing I'm also pro is not doing the job of a company. You know what I mean? Like, so if the grocery store wants me to do the job of a cashier, I am going to also get the discount of a cashier. It only makes sense. Like, I don't work at Safeway. So why am I doing a job like I work at Safeway? If I worked at Safeway, I get a discount. So you know what? It's just how it works. And so one of the things that's interesting is that I saw this last week was virtual cashiers. And what does that mean? You know, virtual cashiers, and how does that actually work? So here in BC, I don't know if you eat at Freshie. I do not. I just can't really eat at a restaurant called Freshie. Like, I don't trust that it's actually fresh. Like, I feel like if you have to tell me that it's freshy, then I think that you are full of shit. You know what I mean? Like that. Like, it seems like a place like the Subway of salads, you know what I mean? Like, where they probably dye the lettuce and, you know, make the radishes just a little bit more bright, you know, and they probably use some type of wax shit, you know, like that, like on the, you know, on the onion. I don't know. It just doesn't seem right. Anyways, maybe it's great. Listen, maybe you eat there and you love it, and I'm sorry if I've offended you, or maybe you own a Freshie franchise or some shit, you know, and I'm not sorry if I offended you, but it seems kind of whack. Anyways, but what they are doing is they are employing people from the Philippines as virtual cashiers. So what you do is you pay your way through this camera where you're talking to somebody. And so what they found is that obviously that they can pay people less money, pay people $3.75 to be a cashier in the Philippines, but in BC. And that allows them to keep wages low, and also allows them to just find employees. Like, so there's like two things that are really one thing. You know, and if you maybe have a little bit of expertise, you can call in and, you know, at 604-UBC-CITR, and maybe you can tell me, you know, why I'm wrong. But the idea is that if you walk up and down 4th, you walk up and down Broadway, you walk up and down these places, particularly in KISS, particularly in these areas where it's so expensive to live, like where rent is literally out of control, you cannot find, like, you see so many help wanted signs because there's so many businesses that need people to work there. The problem is that these businesses don't pay enough for people to live there. So if you want to live near your job, you can't live in KISS and work retail. It's impossible. Like, for $15 an hour, you know, we could do that quickly. You know, to afford a $900 apartment, there's no $900 apartment, so it's like $1,800, you know, or let's say $18 an hour. I don't know, forget about it. You know, you'd have to work like a lot to afford. You know, it's just not manageable. You know, and who's going to commute for a $15 an hour job? It just doesn't make any sense. So, like, this is solving a problem that is an actual real problem for business owners, is the fact that they can't hire people because they can't pay enough. And they can't pay enough because their business isn't viable. Like, that's like where it comes back to. It's like, what I find is that, you know, capitalists and, you know, wannabe capitalists have, you know, want to play by these rules of capitalism, which is if your business can't sustain your employees, then you have to, then your business isn't viable. But what we have done with globalism is allowed, allowed shit like this, where, you know, people can be a cashier from far away. And it's good. This is what they say. It's good for the workers in the Philippines because they can make, you know, 3-4 times the daily, you know, the average daily rate of a Filipino worker or someplace in, you know, in a country, you know, that has suppressed wages. However, people, we all live in systems, right? And so the idea that you are taking someone out of the labor force there, someone who could, is probably pretty, you know, educated, this person must speak English, they went to school for that, you know, they've done all these things, you know, and you've created, you know, these kind of jobs that don't really do anything to advance, you know, besides, you know, provide money, but obviously, but like, it's like, what are we doing? And then also, what are we doing for people here? It's like, you know, where wages can be suppressed to zero, because if they can do this for one business, they're going to try to do this for all businesses, and eventually nobody's going to have a job. And the only people who are going to be making money are people who own businesses. And there has to be something done about that, because it doesn't work. Like, it's unsustainable. It's an unsustainable way to run a business. It's also an unsustainable way to run an organization, you know, an organization like a country, you know, like a society. It's something, and it just feels a little sinister, you know, especially as companies talk about how they need employees to come back to the office, and then some companies are hiring people from all over. It just, I feel like we're in the age of get in where you fit in, you know what I mean? And like, I complain a lot about the shit here on the radio, because listen, that's what we're here for. I'm here with you, you're here with me, and there's a lot of ill and wicked shit going on in the world, but like, sadly, it's not changing, you know. Maybe a few people can change it, you know, a few strong-minded people, individuals can, you know, can change it. But from what I've seen, is the world moves and you must adjust. And I know I said I was going to talk about this after the break, but we'll talk about this before our break. So I am, I like history. That's one of the things that I love the most about just existing, is just being able to feel like I stand on the shoulders of everybody who's ever existed before me, you know, in my bloodline and outside of it, you know, to help get this world to where we're at. And now, you know, we know we complain about it, but also it's just amazing that we exist. And so what I find is that it's so we have existed, and we as in like people have existed for so long, doing so many different things, working in so many different places, that we have, I feel like we live in this era where there's a right answer, and there's only one answer, and that answer is typically Western and white. And it's not until they catch up to what some people have been doing and certify it that it becomes like worthy of listening to, or worthy of worthy of being. And so one of those things is that the Nutchala for First Nations have been saying for, you know, since they've been displaced off their land, that like their land, that the land in, trying to find where it's a few hundred miles north of Victoria on the coast, on the outside of Vancouver Island, and they've been saying that, you know, these lands have been, historically our lands, you know, and they've been, forested, and they want their lands back. And so a UBC and Simon Fraser University anthropologists have found that found evidence that like these, that like these places have been planted and agriculture has been a part of these people's lives for centuries. And this is something that not only have they known, but they have been talking to, you know, Western science about forever. And so it is just, it's like one of those things where it's, we don't believe people until we believe them, you know? And so, you know, whereas explorers and colonizers came here and, you know, just seeing the amount of people that lived here and then also, you know, theorized around how are those people sustained with food and, you know, just how the society sustained and organized. And you see that agriculture doesn't have to be just clear cut agriculture the way that we do it. People have been doing these types of work for thousands of years. And it's always interesting, like as a researcher, to, because this is something that I find that happens often, is that people are like, you know, you hear something that's common sense, especially since the past 2 years where like we're studying Black people and like things that I just know that are common sense. And people don't believe you until they see it on TV or they hear about it or, you know, from some, you know, from some other authority figure, you know, that they trust. And we have lost already so much, you know, knowledge of the ancients, and we're continuing to lose knowledge. And it's kind of sad. You know, and I'd say it's kind of sad, it's real sad, especially as a person who, if you like history, you just have to understand that there's so much that we have already known that has been beaten out of people and murdered out of people and, you know, traumatized out of people, that things that we've already known that we don't even really need, that we shouldn't have to, like, find out again. But when I'm back, listen, we're going to talk a little bit about some, there's so much funny shit happening all over the world. And listen, I'm going to introduce you to some light stories to end your day. I mean, when I say light, I mean, listen, they're still going to be a little fucked up, but you'll be able to laugh because I laughed. Oh, it's also sundress season. It's like the best time of the year. I wanna see what you're on. You're back with Off the Beaten Path. Listen, we only have a few more minutes left, so I'm just gonna run through some stories with you. Maybe you might find funny or maybe ironic, but I find them weird and also hilarious. But also, so first off, could you imagine getting beat up at your job and then getting fired? Like, getting beat up, bad enough. Getting fired at your job after you got beat up and your video went viral would be sad if it happened to you. It's hilarious if it happened to somebody else. So Brendan Langley, a former NFL player, got in an altercation with a United Airlines employee. Now, haven't these United Airlines employees learned their goddamn lesson that they shouldn't be putting their hands on prospective customers? Like, we have already seen this shit happen before, not with getting beat up. Like, obviously, unfortunate man got beat up, but he got a nice little paycheck out of it. But this didn't go like that. So a United Airlines employee basically was just like antagonizing Brendan Langley, who now plays for the Calgary Stampeders, and. Basically, when Brendan tried to ignore him, the assailant followed him and harassed him, calling him a dick and a pussy, and challenged him to a fight. And then what it shows was, him pushing around Brendan, and then you can watch it on YouTube. It's hilarious. Honestly, I feel like I've seen the two funniest fight videos I've ever seen this week. They're amazing. And so you see that Brendan was not really about that, and he put that man on the conveyor belt where they take your luggage. And then the man got fired. So, like, I was just like, man, could you imagine going home to your loved one, you know, your partner, and being like, how was work today? And you're like, well, you know, I got fired. And they're like, oh, what happened? And then you have to tell them how you challenged somebody to a fight and he beat you up. And then they fired you. And so it's just very interesting because part of the story, they talk about how the Calgary Stampeders, they're like, you know, the Calgary Stampeders coaches are aware of the reports concerning Brendan Langley, and their team is currently looking into the matter. And they're currently looking into a matter. Listen, I've been in the football locker room. What they're doing is they put the YouTube video up on the jumbo screen in the meeting room, and they're just sitting with the clicker going back and forth like, ooh, 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 because, listen, as a football coach, listen, I don't condone violence, but I've never heard of a coach say, wow, that guy can fight. I don't want him on my team, because it doesn't happen. Listen, it is a plus. I bet he might have got a little bit of a bonus, you know? There's a few things. There's two more things. There's three things I want to talk about, and I only have enough time for two. So, I'm going to pick three. Actually, I'm going to pick three. So, a woman wrote an article about how to kill your husband in 2011. And then in 2016, she killed her husband. She was just convicted, and has been sent. Her sentencing is not till June. But could you imagine thinking about killing somebody for 7 years, just plotting on it? Plotting on it so much that you put it in writing and on your blog seems ridiculous, but apparently, this happens more frequently than not. Like, I couldn't imagine dating somebody and they wrote a blog post that said, I couldn't imagine like meeting somebody, you know, and learning that they had read a blog post talking about how to kill your husband. Like, and then marrying them and be like, oh, honey, it's just a joke. But no, it wasn't. And this woman apparently had done her research because she bought a ghost gun and then also a barrel and some other type of item that makes so they can't police can't trace the bullets. And I don't really know how she was caught because it seems like she was pretty thorough. Something that if you plan on killing somebody, you should probably look into. I don't plan on killing anybody, so I don't have to look into how she did it. You know? Anyways, for the last story. This is for anybody who's listening who might, this might be you. I could be saving you a lot of embarrassment right now. So, 2 years ago, 2020, there was a lot of heightened awareness around Black history, around Black plight, the struggles and challenges that Black people deal with. Not so much on solutions, but really just about struggle, about the struggles. And one of those things was talking about, it was educating a lot of Black people and white people around Juneteenth. And what does Juneteenth mean? What does Juneteenth mean in Texas? And what does it mean throughout the rest of the country? And so brands have, like I said, brands have gone too far, trying to pander and really, stand up for their Black consumers. And so one of the things was Walmart came out with a great value Juneteenth ice cream. Now, let me tell you something, this. If you are listening to this radio and you didn't know what Juneteenth was before 2020, don't do shit. If you're an American or you work for an American company, just take your day off and think. Don't write about it. Don't say happy Juneteenth to any Black person. Don't even speak. Pretend like Juneteenth. Actually, you should go to work. But anyways, Walmart made a Juneteenth ice cream and basically was trying to use that, to show how they support Black people. Which is kind of crazy because I find that, like, from my research and about, like, Walmart and McDonald's, those two companies surprisingly are, two of some of the largest companies that, like, promote Black people from within, their stores, have Black people largely in their corporate structures, and they still manage to do dumb shit like this. It blows my mind. Anyways, I'm not buying your Juneteenth shit. I'm sure there's not very many other Black people are buying your Juneteenth shit. If you're selling Juneteenth Vaseline, it's stupid. But if somebody has a plug on some cocoa butter scented Vaseline, I might buy that. Just saying. With that being said, I'm out. I'm your host, Issa Aaron. We do this every week, 10 to 11, Crimes and Treasons, 8 to 10. Tune in with us. Tune in with me. Tell a friend to tell a friend to tell a friend. And check it out. This summer, got some surprises. But thank you. I'm out.